Speaking on this program is Randy Key.
Tonight's lesson is concerning the subject walking with God. The man Enoch mentioned in Genesis chapter 5 and the man Noah mentioned in Genesis chapter 6. In the Old Testament, these are the exclusive two, actually, who are said to have walked with God. Now, obviously, others walked with God, but the Bible specifically says in these terms that these men walked with God. Enoch, according to the Genesis 5 passage, the Bible says he lived 65 years. This is about 20 to 25 there in Genesis 5, in this genealogy. Enoch is singled out in this matter. He lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and then he lived 300 years. So that means he lived three round centuries, and then the text says he walked with God for 300 years. And then it says it again. He was not, for God took him. He walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. And so, when you consider Enoch, he is in a rather exclusive, we might say, club, because only two people in the Bible were taken directly to the Lord's presence in the Bible record. That would be Enoch and Elijah. Elijah, as you know, in the presence of Elisha, was taken up in the book of Kings. And Enoch here, the Bible says, he was not because God took him. Here's something to consider. It may very well be that nobody even knew whatever happened to Enoch until Moses wrote Genesis about 1500 B.C. It just says he was not because God took him. There may have been all types of speculation with reference to what happened to Enoch. But we know what happened to him in 1500 B.C. when Moses wrote it, because Moses recorded that God took him. And then in, as we said in Kings, of course, Elijah was taken up. So Enoch and Elijah in the Bible record, the only two that were translated that they should not see death. And Enoch and Noah are the only two people in the Old Testament, specifically for which it is stated, or about which it is stated, that they walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? A couple of other phrases are actually found in the Old Testament. For example, I didn't record this on my outline. You might want to add this. In Deuteronomy 13:4, God commands Israel through Moses, walk after my commandments. Walk after me. Walk after the Lord your God. You see that? And then in Genesis 17:1, when the Lord appeared to Abraham, I am God Almighty, walk before me. So now you've got three phrases: walk with God, walk after God, and walk before God. A little different way of saying it. To walk with God, of course, would be in agreement with Him, in fellowship with Him. To walk after God would be in recognition of His authority over you, and to submit and follow that authority. And, of course, to walk before Him would be to daily be conscious of His abiding presence and His omniscience. And the fact that He's always with us in under all circumstances we walk before Him. And so you have these three different phrases found in the Bible. I have stated in this lesson 4 points that I want for your consideration tonight. Most people, first of all, don't walk. They do not walk with God. This has always been the case. Bear in mind also that Enoch lived in a very corrupt time. He lived in a very corrupt time. After his son was born, the Bible says that he walked with God 300 years. That is, there was not a day that went by in his life, as long as his father was alive, that Methuselah did not see his father walking with God. Now that's significant, in my view at least. And so he walked with God 300 years. Nothing like that is said about Methuselah or anybody else in the genealogy there at least. But Enoch lived in a corrupt situation. This is a tremendous lesson for us. This means that times can be the worst. And we can be in the most corrupt environment, and we can still walk with God. Enoch did it. And if Enoch can do it, we can do it. I know this was a corrupt period because most people did not walk with God at this point. And you read on into Genesis 6, which this led, of course, to the destruction of the world and the great baptismal flood, where Noah, the second man that's identified as who walked with God, was saved and his house was saved, of course, in the ark. But the Bible says in Genesis 6, 5, as by way of description of the world at that time, that the world was corrupted greatly, the Bible says, great corruption and evil, and that every imagination of the thoughts of man were only evil continually. Now, this is the environment in which Enoch lived prior to the flood. This demonstrates to us that you and I can walk with God even in the worst possible environments. And the Lord expects us to do that. So, most people have always not walked with God, however. We know this from other Old Testament passages. Moses told Israel, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." The multitude of people would do evil. And if the multitude does evil, if the masses go against God and go and walk in opposition against God, well, then you need to keep walking with God, even though the multitude or the masses are walking against Him or out of harmony with Him or not in fellowship with Him. You need to walk with Him. Later on in the Old Testament, Jeremiah calls upon the nation of Israel in its entirety here to stand and see and ask for the old paths. The old paths. That simply means go back, find out what the law of Moses said, and follow it. What God told Israel originally, go back to the law of Moses and follow it. Ask for the old paths. You've left those paths, but see and ask for the old paths. And then he says, and walk therein. Walk therein. But you know what the nation said? We will not walk therein, if you read the last part of the verse. That was their response. Here's the prophet raised up by God to call them to walk with God in the old paths. And they said, we will not do that. We will not walk. And so throughout the Old Testament, the masses, the multitude, the world generally has not walked with God. When you get to the New Testament, the same scenario is set out by our Lord Himself, in fact. As you know, the familiar passage in Matthew 7, where the Bible says we should, and obligates us, by the way, this is an obligation that we have, to enter into the straight gate. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We're obligated to enter and walk with God in the straight and narrow. We have an obligation to do that, to enter and to walk. But the Lord says, only a few people will do that. Later, the Lord said in Matthew 22:14, many are called, few are chosen. The call here is the invitation. The choosing is the acceptance of that invitation. Many are called. That's the universal gospel call. Few are chosen. Why is it that only few are chosen? Because only a few accept the call, respond in the proper positive way to it. So the call is for many, but few are chosen. And so it is in both Testaments we see this matter. Later Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:26, not many, you see, has not many wise, that is, according to this world, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That is, those of prestige, prominence, and power. The world generally that's caught up in prestige, prominence, and power, they will not accept the gospel. They will not walk with God. Many are called, few are chosen. Only few there be that find it. Most people are not walking, therefore, with God. They're not walking after Him, and they're not walking before Him in conscious recognition of His abiding presence. We live in a world where many people think they're walking with God. Number two, many people think they're walking with God. If you remember, the ruler said, or rather Paul said to the ruler as he stood before him, Acts 26:9, behold, I thought. That sounds very familiar. Didn't Naaman say that? If I recall correctly, didn't Naaman say, I thought that I could dip. No, you need to go dip in Jordan. See? But I thought he would come and do this and that, do some great thing. Well, man's thinking runs counter to God's thinking. We think we might be with God, and the world generally, the religious world, of course, thinks that they are with the Lord, but they're not. So it is possible, and this is clearly set out in both Testaments, it's possible to think we're walking with God and not be walking with God. Jeremiah 10:23, the familiar passage where the same prophet on another occasion makes the statement, it is not in man that walks to direct his O-W-N, his own, O-W-N. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. When it comes to religious matters, I cannot write my own Bible. I cannot direct my own way to heaven. I have to go to the Lord and submit my will to His and find His way and walk in His way. It's not, I don't have the capacity to devise my own way to go to heaven. I can't come up with a scheme of redemption or plan it out or cut the pathway, you see. It's not in man that walks to direct his own paths. Our direction must come from God. And so when we go our own way, we might think we're right, but we're not. The passage in Isaiah says it like this: let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see that? Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 10. I think on the outline I have 8 through 10. It should be 7 through 10. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's very important. If I'm going to think like God, I have to forsake the way I think. As long as I hold on to my own thought, I'm not going to accept what God thinks about it. I have to forsake my thoughts in order to think like God. I cannot hold on to my personal opinions and my own thoughts. Why is that? Keep reading. Here's why that's not possible. He adds this statement. God says to the nation of Israel again in the following verses, 8 and following, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Now that's an interesting way that's stated there, and it's no doubt on purpose. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he says, and your ways are not my ways. See how he says it? Now why is it our ways are not his ways? It's because we don't think like him. We don't think like God. We may think we're right, but we must surrender our thoughts. And this is the way Paul says it in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is an overlooked passage, but it's very powerful. Listen to this. Casting down imaginations and everything high thing that exalts itself, and bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ your thoughts and your mind. We must cast down our own thoughts, our own imaginations. Well, I imagine that the Lord would accept this, and I imagine that we ought to do this. Well, we need to quit imagining. Paul says you don't exalt your imagination. You cast it down. You cast down your imagination, and then you bring your thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And there it is. And so, people can think they're right. They can think they're walking with God, but they're not walking with God. That's because they're not thinking like God. Well, someone might say, well, how do I know what God thinks about it? The only way you can know what God thinks about it is if He tells you. And the Bible says He has told us. Repeatedly, the Bible says that. Amos 3:7, God will not do anything unless He reveals it. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law. The God of the Bible is the God who speaks and communicates. And God wants us to know what He thinks about it. But most people think they're walking with God, but they're not. Listen to the book of Proverbs on this repeatedly, and I've picked out a couple of these for your consideration. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. If I'm following my own pathway in religion, God says I'm a fool, I'm foolish, I'm unwise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. You see the repetition of the word own there? To direct his own steps, his own eyes, his own way. What's the problem with O-W-N? The problem with O-W-N is that it's not what God thinks about it. If I have my own fault, then my own fault is not what God thinks, because God says my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways. And so it is. Proverbs 16 now. Two or three passages there. The way of man is clean or pure in his own eyes. Verse 2. Well, let's go this way in religion. That looks pure. That looks clean. Let's go down this way. But you see, we think we're walking with God. We think we're walking the right way. But we're not. And then verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So something can be thought to be right. It can seem right. But if it's our own way, our own fault, our own disposition is in conflict with God's. And so, most people are not walking with God. There are many who think they're walking with God, but they're not. The Bible says that the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:14. Remember what the Lord said would happen on the day of judgment? All these religious people will stand up and they will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? A lot of preachers are going to be standing there. That's what the word prophet there means, a preacher. Lord, haven't we preached? Was I not on that television program for years saying Jesus this and Jesus that and Lord this and Lord this? Have we not prophesied in your name? Didn't I call on your name and call your name repeatedly on that television show all those years? Have we not prophesied in your name? What did the Lord say? I never knew you. You can get on that TV show, people can send you millions of dollars, and you can talk about Jesus all day long, but on the day of judgment, the Lord is going to say, I never knew you. He didn't say, I don't know you. He said, I never knew you. Not only do I not know you now, I never knew you. You were never on my side. You may have stood there and talked about me a lot, picked up a Bible and talked about me a lot. Have we not prophesied in your name? Say that. Now this is what they're claiming to do here. Have we not done many wonderful works? What about all those things I did, Lord, for you? It's a noble thing to want to do something for the Lord. But the greatest lesson the religious world needs to learn today is this. We can have noble aspirations to do something for God. But if God in His Word does not sanction what we're doing, He will reject it. In other words, if I do not have Bible authority for what I do, God will not accept it. My aspirations may be noble, my heart may be sincere, and my zeal may be on fire. Have we not done many wonderful works, God, for you? What did the Lord say? I never knew you. Why did the Lord say, I never knew you? Even though their aspirations were great and they wanted to do something for God. It's because in religion they just decided they were going to do what they wanted to. But you can't do in religion what you want to do. You can only do in religion what God wants you to do if you expect Him to accept it. And that's the point here. Now remember, they're claiming on the day of judgment, have we not prophesied? Haven't we preached? Haven't we done all these good things, Lord? That was our intention. And then he says, have we not cast out demons? All these people on TV claiming to do all these miracles, calling the name of Jesus over all these people and claiming to do all these miracles. What did the Lord say? I never knew you. So you see, most people are not walking with God. And many people think they are, but they're not. And that's because Jesus says, beware of false prophets, Matthew 7:15. For there are many false prophets, and beware of them. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And that's the Lord's warning. Don't you find it significant that the Lord made that statement immediately, Matthew 7:15, immediately after he made the statement that most people are going to be lost? Have you ever noticed that? Verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, the masses are going to be lost. And then the very next verse, the Lord says, beware of false prophets. That is significant. Why is it that the masses are going to be lost? It's because they're blindly following false religion, among many other reasons. Now, some people, number three, start out on the right way with God, and they start walking with God. Some people do begin to walk with God. But the Bible teaches they walk with God for a while, and then they cease to walk with God. And I've picked out a couple of examples here for you in both Testaments. One interesting example is the book of Psalms, a very lengthy psalm, in fact, Psalm 106. But there are two verses in that psalm, and because of our time this evening, let me brief you on the whole psalm, because there are many verses in the psalm, but I'll focus on verse 12 and verse 24. This psalm is a review, we might say, a reiteration, a review of the history of Israel. And the history of Israel, God delivered the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage by the hand of Moses, brought them into the land of Canaan, placed them in the land of Canaan. And in the process of this deliverance by God, the Bible says in verse 12, they believed the word of God. They believed His word. But by the time you get down to verse 24, it says, they believed not His word. You see that? The nation of Israel believed, but then later, they didn't believe. They started walking with God, but after a while, they stopped walking with God. You see that? So between verse 12 and verse 24, something went wrong there. See? So it's possible to believe and to start out walking with God, and then somewhere down the line cease to walk with God. This happened in John chapter 6 in the New Testament, when the Bible says in John 6 verse 66, from that time forward many of His disciples walked with Him no more. Now why did they do that? Well, if you back up a few verses there, it says, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They were offended. Jesus had taught them on a matter here, and they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And so from that time forward, many of His disciples walked no more with Him. They walked with Jesus for a while, but then they ceased to walk with Him in verse 66. If you turn to the book of 2 Peter, you have an entire chapter on this. Peter is a late book. It was written later on, toward the end of the apostolic period, years after the church was established. And the book of 2 Peter, by the time the book was written, apostasy had set in various areas among churches of Christ. And we know here, verses 1 and 2 of 2 Peter 2, Peter says, as there were false prophets in the Old Testament, there shall be false teachers among you, who shall bring in damnable heresies, even to the point where the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Well, in verse 15, he identifies these people after giving some Old Testament examples about how the angels that were right with God, but they sinned and God cast them out. And Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, you see, the world left God, so God raised up Noah as a preacher of righteousness. And so he gives some Old Testament examples. And then when you get to verse 15 and you note verse 15, he's saying, just like it happened in the Old Testament, it's now happening among the Lord's people, among churches of Christ in the first century. What happened in verse 15? They had forsaken the right way. Now listen to this. You can't forsake the right way if you were never on the right way, can you? You can't forsake something you were never on to begin with. So here you have people that were on the right way, they were walking with God, but then they forsook the right way. Somewhere along the line, they had forsaken the right way. He then elaborates on this and shows their terrible, terrible condition in the last two or three verses of this chapter. He says they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says they are again entangled therein and overcome. the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So they had escaped. They were again entangled and overcome. And the latter end is worse than the beginning. That's verse 20. He goes on further to describe that in the last two verses. But here you have this New Testament example. The New Testament actually anticipates the churches, among churches, there would be a great apostasy. I note here two other passages for you, one in 1 Timothy, one in 2 Timothy. Both of these are found in chapter 4 of each book, so it's an easy way to remember it here. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul says that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. So this indicates a falling away from the faith. The faith there is the gospel. They will depart from the gospel. They had at one point embraced it, but they're going to depart from it. And he says the Spirit speaks expressly. That means the Holy Spirit is telling us this through the pen of Paul, and he's being very specific about it. Now, how specific is he here? The Spirit speaks expressly, not generally, but specifically the Holy Spirit says it. What does he mean by that? Specifically, the Holy Spirit says, well, they're going to forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats. Well, of course, that's the rise of Catholicism, you see. 400 or 500 years before anybody ever heard of it, right here. Two doctrines of that false religion. And so, the New Testament warns even that the church, Christians, can be with God, walk with God, and then depart the faith. Same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last thing we have on record in the New Testament from Paul is found in 2 Timothy 4, the last record of his writing as far as what he wrote. And in this, what do you think is on his mind? Here's the last thing Paul ever wrote. What's on his mind? Well, there are a lot of things on his mind. He talks about himself later on in the chapter, how that he had remained faithful. So he charges Timothy in 1 through 5 there. This is the familiar passage to preachers, preach the word, verse 2. And then he assigns a reason for that. Why is it that the Word of God should be preached and preached and emphasized and preached and never forsaken? Why is that the case? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. They were with God, but they will cease one day to walk with God and follow the truth and endure the preaching of the Word of God. They will reject it, and they will be turned into fables. He tells Timothy to watch in all things, do the work of an evangelist. Verse 5. So, repeatedly, explicitly, clearly, both Testaments do this. And this is just a sample of this. Time does not allow, of course, for all the examples we might give, but that demonstrates that we can be with God individually, congregationally, and even among all the churches even. We can all be with God, but then somewhere down the line we can cease to walk with God. So that principle is set out. The final thing I want to give you this evening is the Bible definition. What does it mean to walk with God? Let's let the Bible answer that question. What does it mean to walk with God? How does the Bible define that? Well, we know that Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5. We know that Noah walked with God. Now, if I can get a divine commentary from a New Testament writer and from parallel passages, or we might say supplemental passages here, let's let the Bible tell us exactly what these men did and what they did where the record would say that they walked with God. How are they defined in the Bible? What will it take for us today to walk with God? Well, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 5, this is what it says about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And then it says, he had this testimony, and here's the word. He pleased God. So I know that Enoch walked with God. I know he walked with God 300 years after Methuselah was born. I know that God took him. But I also know that walking with God means that he had faith in God. And so to walk with God means that you believe God's word and accept his word and act on his word. Because Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Did you know the only references in the Bible you have of Enoch is Genesis 5, Hebrews 11, and there's a reference to Enoch in Jude verse 14. And Enoch was a prophet. He was an inspired man, prophesied about Judgment Day. Now, he walked with God, and the text says he had faith, and the text says that he pleased God. So walking with God means that I take God at His word, that's faith, and then I please God by keeping His word. Now that's the principle, and that's what he did to walk with God. What about Noah? How did Noah walk with God? Well, we know he walked with God because Genesis 6, verse 8 says he walked with God. He was just man, perfect in his generation. He found grace in the eyes of God, and he walked with God. Well, if you drop down to the end of Genesis 6, here's what it says. God gave him instructions concerning the ark, to build the ark, when the long-suffering of God, as Peter says, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. How did Noah prepare that ark? What was involved in that? Well, Genesis 6:22 says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And then it says it again. So did he. You see that? See the emphasis? Why is it that the Bible says that Noah walked with God? Because Noah listened to God, took God at His word, and did exactly what He said. That's how Noah walked with God. Now, if I want to walk with God today, I have to be a person of faith. Well, I know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I know that. Romans 10:17 tells me that. So, if I want to walk with God today, then I need to have faith. My faith should be based on the Word of God, but it needs to be a certain kind of faith. It needs to be an obedient faith. It needs to be the kind of faith that will lead. My faith must be strong enough to take God at His Word and obey it, and follow what God's Word says. That's how the Bible describes these two men as walking with God. They believed Him. They took Him at His Word. They did what God said. So did he. Obedient faith. What about today? Take the principle, apply it today. Hebrews 5, 9. Has this changed? If we want to walk with God today, have these principles changed? Now, I don't have to build an ark to walk with God. Okay? And I know from Genesis that the patriarchs, and this would include Enoch, I know that they offered up animal sacrifices. Back in Genesis 4, Abel offered up an animal sacrifice. So during this period, animal sacrifices were offered up to God. I don't have to do that today. I know that Enoch did that. Doesn't say that he did it. But that was the atonement system during the patriarchal period in the book of Genesis. Do I have to offer up animal sacrifices? Do I have to build an ark? No. The details of what these two men did to please God and obey God are different. They lived under different periods in Bible history. So what do I have to do today? Well, I have to obey Christ. Hebrews 5:9, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. The book of Colossians 2 and verse 6 actually says it this way. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, or Jesus Christ as Lord. Now watch this. So walk in Him. If I walk with God today, I have to walk in Christ. There's a certain sphere that I have to be in. I have to be in Christ, and I have to walk in Christ. Colossians 2:6. What does that mean? Well, if you turn to 1 John 1, John elaborates. John says, God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. He that saith he is in the light and walks in darkness, the Bible says he's a liar here. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, to walk in Christ today means that I walk in the light. Well, 1 John 1 defines that as doing the truth. Doing the truth and walking in the light is the same thing. And, of course, have to be in Christ. So, to walk in Christ is to walk, that is, in a relationship with Christ, in His church, the body of Christ, and walk according to the truth, or in the light of God's Word. And so that's the way the New Testament defines it and describes it today for us. To walk with God today, I have to come to God through Christ and walk in Christ and walk in the truth, walk in the light. That's what the New Testament teaches. The result of walking with God is God took him. Only said of two people in the Bible, Elijah and Enoch. We can live a dedicated, faithful Christian life. We have no promise that God will translate us directly to heaven. I have a thought on this, probably the case in the case of Enoch. The very dawn here of creation, we might say. God is teaching the doctrine of immortality, that man has something beyond this life, that he translated Enoch, that he should not see death. God took him, plucked him out of the wicked world, that he should not see death. There's no indication that God ever promised that he would do that for anybody, but he did it for Enoch. What will the Lord do for us? In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says that one day Jesus will come back. He will come back with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive, Christians that is, and remain, will be caught up together with them, that is, the dead saints and the living saints. Dead Christians and living Christians will all go up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Will the Lord take us? Yes, He will. We are promised that He'll take us. When Jesus comes back, He will take us too. Will you not this evening consider your relationship with God? Amos 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you agree with what the Bible says tonight? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Do you agree with that? You don't want to disagree with the Lord now. You don't want to disagree with what the Bible says, because one day we'll be judged by it. And so, if you believe in Jesus tonight, you need to repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. You need to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. If you do that, Acts 2:47 says the Lord will add you to the church, and you can begin your walk this evening with God, so that someday He will take you also.